Amen. Well, it's good to be here. This we got a great Savior, don't we?
Amen.
Man, I tell you what. It's just a...
Oh, brother, I'm sorry. Can I make one more announcement?
Sure, sure. You make lots of noise. Amen. Took my crowd away. Yes, that's my group there. Amen. I can be on their level. Amen. All right. Well, let me sure I turn this on. Okay. Amen. Well, like I was saying, we got a great Savior. And boy, I tell you, sing that it's well with my soul. I mean, my sin. My sin, not in part, the whole. Man. Yeah, man, it ain't a shame that there's a lot of people who don't understand that. Ain't it a shame there's people tonight that's concerned that Calvary wasn't enough? That really are trying to, man, follow all kind of gimmicks and try to somewhere find some comfort that, and it's that Calvary. We glory in the cross. Amen. Well, it's good to be here, and I'm glad you're here. And take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Proverbs, if you would. Chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Now, our first night prayer was to warn you about a carnal life that the flesh, many sinners try to justify that life by disregarding the Scriptures and the doctrine they were given by finding some common ground with some other carnal Christians. And I preached on Samson a little bit to you there. And by the way, Samson wasn't faithless. He had some faith. I didn't show you that, didn't because of time and different things. Just the Lord just hadn't had me show you that. But if you ever turn to Hebrews, you'll find out he's over there. He had some faith. Then last night we, hopefully through praying that the Lord would give you something to curb any doubts about living by faith, about being scared about the what ifs, and you know, Moses's things that he imagined, the what ifs of Moses, you know, they actually come to somewhat some of it a fruitation. The people did wonder what he was doing there and doubted him. But the Lord was still bigger than that problem. So tonight we're going to look here in Proverbs and pray the Lord will break the bread of life and give us something here. Proverbs chapter 23, I want us to look at two verses in this chapter. Proverbs chapter 23, and let's look at verse 17. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Let's go to the throne of grace once again and ask the Lord for blessings and help in this time of the preaching of the Word of God. Father, I do thank You, Lord, again. Thank You for providing a place for us, Lord. Thank You for this building, for a place we can get out of the weather, gather under a roof, and be able, Lord, in a very comfortable environment, to be able to sit down and, Lord, just to for You to work And Lord, God, I know You know all things. Lord, I know that You saw yesterday, You see today, You see tomorrow. You know these people better than themselves. And God, I pray, Father, that tonight as we look through Your words, that God, Your Holy Spirit would guide and direct me, help me to minister, help me to do what You want me to do to be able to deliver this message. And God, I pray, Father, that You would work upon hearts in each individual case. Give them what's needed tonight, Lord. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that there would be no spirit, there would be no flesh, nothing would hinder what needs to take place in this room tonight. May You give us a sanctuary here, God, where You can work. And Father, I pray, Lord, get me out of the way. Use these lips to preach Your truth. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. For surely there, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. There is a movement that has been going on in this country for some time. I don't know exactly. I mean, it's roots of it go way back, but it's really come to flourish here in recent years, and that's the idea of going green. And you know, that's a shame how the world just messes some things up. I like green. Green is my favorite color. I like mossy oak green. I like green. I like military green. I like OD green. Green, I like green. I hate it when the world gets a hold of something like that and just kind of makes it bad. By the way, my favorite color is not pink. I think pink is nice for a lady. I think that's great. Fine, I got a problem with that. Pink, a little baby, old girl, that's fine. But I don't need to wear pink in order to think of somebody else's problem. I don't. Matter of fact, I don't think anybody does. I think that's what happens to a country when it forgets to pray and it thinks through programs and through stuff like that, you're gonna find a cure. You get people running around in pink instead of running around and getting on their knees and praying. And, I don't want to wear no pink for no reason. I think it's a conspiracy myself, to get people wearing pink that shouldn't be wearing pink and getting them used to it. But, well, a rainbow's a beautiful thing. You ever see a rainbow after a storm? That's beautiful. God put it there for a reason. God put that there so remind us of something He did, and there's a promise, a covenant associated with that. Then a bunch of perverts come along and they try to claim it for what they want to get done. That's sad, folks. That means the world's always messing things up. But back to this going to green. Now, I'm not a tree hugger. The only time I hug a tree is to get up it so I can shoot at Bambi. That's the only time. Other than that, I'm not interested in hugging any tree. I like trees. I ain't got nothing against them. I like them. I really do. I don't go out and just beat on trees. No. But I'll tell you what, I'm not worried about my grandkids not having a tree to look at. Because my Bible tells me that when the tribulation is here, God's going to burn up a bunch of them. I'm not just for pollution. I don't go around just throwing my trash everywhere. I believe in personal responsibility. But you know what I know? I know you can't save this planet. It's doomed. It's doomed. It's got a day coming when it's going up. So you got this thing of going green. Well, I'm going to preach to you tonight on going green, but it's not what you think. It's not what you think because, you see, my text here deals with envy. And it used to be when somebody was really envious, you would say, well, they're green with envy. You say someone who is really jealous and full of envy, you would say, oh, that green-eyed monster's got them. So tonight I'm going to preach to you a little bit on green with envy. And I want to warn you, saints, tonight, about being careful, as the text says here, let not thine heart envy sinners. Envy sinners. You know, the Lord expects us to be different. And it's going to take some effort. I mean, salvation is totally free. It's all you have to do is trust Jesus Christ. It's a done deal. He gives you the new birth. You don't have a birth. The new birth is not a process. The new birth is not something that you have to get a hold of and you kind of work on it and make it better. No. Salvation that you get through Jesus Christ, it's complete, it's done for, it's settled. But the Christian walk and the Christian life that God expects of a born-again person, He expects it. I'm not saying you're going to do it, but He expects, He wants, His desire, His will is for you as a Christian to walk differently. And the only way you're going to please God here is to be different. Now, look, take your Bible. You can hold your hand there in Proverbs. Come over here in Ephesians. I believe that when you get saved, you're saved. You can't get any more saved-er. You are saved. But I do believe as a child of God, you ought to mature and grow to become a Christian, and that takes some effort. I don't believe, as some of folks down our way, I don't know if you have it up here, but there's Baptists that teach down our way, once you get saved, and then the Lord just, He's the Lord of everything, and just, because if He wasn't Lord of everything, you really wouldn't be saved, and since everything you do must be the Lord, because you wouldn't do anything wrong, because He's, so that's how they justify living like a carnal and selfish worldly life. Because it really can't be wrong, or I wouldn't be doing it. I mean, real bad things, then you're not saved. But that's because they don't know the Bible. You see, Paul spent much time in the Scriptures. God used him a lot when he wrote the Scriptures to instruct Christians. And if there was no danger in you doing wrong or living wrong or acting wrong, then he wouldn't have had to put this stuff in here. He wouldn't have had to do that. He would just have to tell you how wonderful it is to get saved, and you automatically would do right. But that's not the case. So in Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at a few verses just real quickly. Ephesians 4 verse 17 says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." So right there you have an instruction in the Scripture. You're not to walk like other Gentiles. Right there. I mean, that right there is telling you, but not hard to read. Don't need the Greek. Don't need the Hebrew. Don't, you can just use a dumb Arkansan like me to tell you that that verse right there means in English you got to walk different than what the world walks. Now he says here, let's see, verse 22 it is, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. He tells you right there, there's something to put off. There's something that you need to put off. Be very careful with the term "be yourself." Now, I know in the right context that's okay, alright? But be careful. I know a lot of Christians who will stunt their faith and stunt going for God because they say, "Well, that's just not me. I don't pass out tracts because that's just not me. I don't witness because I just not me. I don't go to the nursing home because that's just not me." Well, listen, there's somebody in you that's not you, that if you would submit to the Holy Spirit of God, maybe you'd find out, hey, there's another part to you. The Lord can use even some people that don't think that, hey, I couldn't do that. And you could. You could. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. Now, notice in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetous, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints." You know what? We are saints, right? If you're saved, you're a saint. You're sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. So you're supposed to act like saints. It says right there, as becometh saints. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." And he goes on down there and gives more. Many instructions you find in the New Testament, not only in Ephesians, but in Colossians and Philippians, about you being different than what the flesh and the world want you to be. But that old man, that flesh, he gets envious. And for some reason, he still thinks the good old days is the good old days sometimes, if you give him room. Thank God some of you have been saved. Thank God some of you used to drink beer, and right now it doesn't bother you one lick to drive by a bar. You don't want to go in there. You have no desire to go in there. Some of you used to listen to the raw music, and thank God when you hear it now, you think, how could I try? Some of you probably used to cuss and curse, and when somebody cusses and curses, it bothers you. Well, thank God that that's not you anymore. But there's a man there that you give him some time, you give him room, and enough excuses, he'd like that old life again. He'd like that old life again. But even if you didn't go back that far, there's that part, that flesh that just, you know, just calm down. You're going to heaven. You're not in the bar. You're not cursing. You're not smoking. Hey, just don't be so fanatical. You gotta watch that flesh. Now let's look at our verse here tonight. And we would want to get a warning about going green with envy. First, I want you to notice a command not to be envious. It says, let not thine heart envy sinners. Now here's a command. And God's command here is here to help you. It's not to hurt you. There's a reason that the command is given. You know why the command is given? Because there's that possibility. There's that possibility that you will envy what sinners do, what they get away with, and what you might think their liberty is, and you get envious. Look over at Psalms chapter 73. Psalms chapter 73, and we'll see here this in the Psalm of Asaph here, there's a little picture of this. We won't read the whole Psalms, but we'll read a little bit of it. Psalm 73, verse 1. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, watch it when you say God is good, and in back there's a little voice that constantly wants to murmur and complain. God's good! Man, God, I just don't know about what, you know. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw, here we go, the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, and violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. That old man that's in that saint, sometimes you get in trials, you go through trouble, you see the things, the paths that God leads you, the way God leads you. That old man will look over there, look at the world. Why can they live like that? And looks like they're having a good time. And look at me, I'm barely trying to get bed and pay my bills. Look at me, I've been doing right. And you better be careful. Listen, God is not trying to keep you from something for the sake of just saying no to you. The Lord knows there's a danger there. The Lord knows there's a danger there. There's a world out there without God. There's a world out there tonight that, yeah, they may be smiling, they may be laughing. Tonight, many of them went home, got money in the bank, and many of them's going to party it up. Many of them's going to blow a lot of money, and they're going to have a good time for the next few days. Come Monday, they'll come dragging back to work, trying to get through another week, thinking, well, if I can do this for another 30, 33, 40 years, I'll once get retired, I won't do this no more. And then they wait for Friday. When Friday rolls around, they'll have another big shindig or do something that'll satisfy them. But just remember, when trouble hits, that stuff does nothing. Does nothing for the peace in their heart, for the comfort of their soul. Does nothing. Does nothing for them. And then to end life, to go out into hell forever, to burn forever and ever and ever. Listen, God knows. God knows. God knows what you and I need. And that world out there, that old man may think the good old times are out there, but no, they're not. No, they're not. Listen, you young ones in here, that God saved you from an awful mess. Listen, young people, please don't get envious of saints that got saved older in life and have some wild testimony to tell you. Listen, they hurt. They got scars. And if they could, they would change places with getting saved at 5, 6, 7 years old and by 12 years old know how to walk with God, know some Bible, to stay away from some things and learn how to keep a decent testimony and do things the right way and get married the right way and have the family the right way. Boy, listen, don't you ever think that you're missing out. God saved you from that. That old man is in you. You need to submit to God and don't get envious. Don't get thinking that a taste of the wild life is going to make you love God more. You ought to appreciate what God died for you. That sin that you have is enough for Him to suffer like He did without having to suffer for all the drug addicts and all the murderers and all those other things. Listen, the sin that brought all this into was the fact that someone just disobeyed what God said. And then a man who put a woman above what God said and fell right into it. And the truth of the matter is, you young people, somewhere in your life, you're going to do something God didn't tell you to do. You probably might have done it this week. God might have told you something this week you should have did, and you were lazy and you didn't do it. That's sin right there. That's enough. Don't think you got to go out and do something stupid and get some wild testimony. Listen, envy. Envy. Watch that envy. The Lord knows there's a danger there. That world don't love you. You got brethren in here. Yeah, sometimes the brethren, we're weird. We're all weird. We're weird. We can be hard to live with at times. But I'm here to tell you something. You're with a crowd that can help you, that would pray for you, that know from the Scriptures what is best for you, than for you to go out there in that crowd that once there's no longer they can get anything from you, they will not care about you. A command not to be envious. Let not thine heart envy sinners. You know, you listen to that old flesh. You walk into a place that could be very dark for you. Take your Bible, look at 1 John chapter 1. The Holy Spirit, new man inside you, wants to be in fellowship with God. So the envy that you would have for sinners and for that world is not a manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. And in 1 John chapter 1 here, it says, verse 5, I'll start in verse 4, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Listen, you get the envying at that world out there. You're saved. You won't be alone as far as God won't leave you. But you'll be lonely because the fellowship won't be there. Even a saved saint doing right. Notice what it goes on to say. He's not just talking about someone backslidden and way out there in an immoral life. Look what he says. But if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. You know what we all ought to know and better know according to Scriptures? We all have sin. Listen, that's why when we sung that song tonight, it is well with my soul. And he said, my sin. He's not something that's presently with me right now. That ain't something way back there. That's something as I stand and sung that song tonight, that sin inside me is taken care of. That ought to cause you to rejoice. And because of that sin, we have to get down on an altar or down in a closet or some private place and say, oh God, forgive me for that envy. Forgive me for looking at that thing and desiring that thing and coveting that thing. Forgive me for that pride that I'd have that I think sometimes you hold things from me that I want. Forgive me for my pride. You got to confess those sins because you want that fellowship with God. Envy. You don't want to go it alone. You want that fellowship. You don't want to lose fellowship. You know what's sad though? There's many saints that never really get in real good fellowship with the Lord. There's a lot of saints who attend a church just like this one. You're told, I'm sure, your pastor tells you all the time, read your Bible. Pray. Read your Bible. Pray. And some of you, you still may not have picked up your Bible and been consistent yet. You still may not have read your Bible through yet. Good chance at a crowd this size. There's some of you that still may be not taking your prayer life as serious as you ought to and being as intimate with the Lord as you should be in your prayers. To have that fellowship. No, you don't want to be envious. You don't want to go green. Man, you start going green with envy. You know, it won't make sense. You know, Al Gore, I don't know if you know who he is, but Al Gore one time spoke at a conference there. It was one of them going green conferences or whatever there at the Clinton Global Institute there. And he said, if you're a young person looking at the future of this planet and looking at what is being done right now and not done, I believe we have reached the stage where it is time for civil disobedience to prevent the construction of new coal plants that do not have carbon capture, whatever that word is, some big word he used. I don't even know if he knows what it means. But anyways, what he's saying there is, you know what I think? I think if they're going to build a coal plant, you ought to stand up against it. Civil disobedience. You know who Al Gore is? He won the Nobel Peace Prize. See, that's their idea. Listen, you start getting envious, you start going green, and you may sit there like, I'm never going to worry about light bulbs. I'm not going to be the veggie. I'm not going to do that stuff. Well, you start being green with envy, you'll look pretty silly. The new man inside you who wants to glorify God, one day this old flesh is going to fall away. We'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ. We'll be just like Jesus Christ. And you won't believe God that's going to happen, and you're going to take your life and try to serve a dead man, according to Romans chapter 6. You'll be as silly as Gore is. Listen. A command not to be envious. Then I want you to notice another thing about the verse here. I realize if you do what God asks you to do, you're most of the time going to be going against world opinion. But I like what Sam Jones, the old Methodist evangelist, said one time. He says, I tell you, it takes more courage oftentimes to take a stand against public opinion than to walk up to the mouth of a cannon. It's kind of like the guy that said, you know, sometimes it takes more to live for Christ than die for Christ. I mean, because you're going to have to put up with some ridicule, you're going to have to put up with some persecution, and like I said, that old flesh, at times it's going to moan, it's going to groan. Listen, the Lord can help you. He can help you. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's something for you to do. And that's going to take some effort. That's going to take some effort. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, as servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. That's Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Watch envy. Watch envy. Let not, it says. That's a command. And that's something that you are to do. Now, again, let's look at the verse here. And I want you to notice a desire to be envious. It says, thine heart envy sinners. As I've already said to you, the Bible doesn't say things just to put wording in there. The reason there's commands in the Scripture about against covetousness to a Christian. The reason in the Bible there's commands that Paul gives to the Christian about lying and stealing and lazy and gossip and all those things there is because that possibility is really there. And here it says, let not thine heart envy sinners. Your heart has the ability. A desire to be envious is a possibility. Is a possibility. Something that you know what? You can somewhat expect. Somewhere along your walk in the Christian life, you can expect somewhere for that old flesh to tell you, hey, look over there. They don't got it as bad as you do. Hey, look at what your situation, look what's happening in your life. Hey, just think of the opportunity over there. The pasture's greener on that side. Just don't tell you the water bill's a lot higher too. And you got to pay it. Lord on this side leads you to green pastures and still water and you ain't paying for it. The mercy of God. Something to be expected. The command is given because the occasion arises. You still have an old nature. A rebellious, prideful, selfish nature. It's there. It shouldn't. Tonight, I'm not trying to make you feel bad because it arises. Temptation is common. But I do want to warn you, don't give in to it. That when it raises its ugly head, when that envy does come, you need to deal with it. Let not. When the occasion arises, don't meditate. Don't give it, don't allow it time. Don't think upon it. Ask God, pray, and ask God in your life, hey Lord, don't let my imaginations and my heart get fixed on something that it's kind of ingrained to where you're constantly going over to that same rut and you can't get out of the rut. Pray God will help you. Stay out of the ruts. You know, a lot of saved people live so close to the edge. They live as close to the edge as they can because they don't want to be different. They're so worried about being different. Have you ever been somewhere in the Lord? Well, we'll just say, we won't even bring the Lord into it for a minute. Just say you're somewhere, you're getting ready to check out in a line, or maybe you're standing somewhere waiting or something, and all you look over and all of a sudden you get this idea, hey, I need to give that person a track. Or perhaps it's not even a track. Maybe you're somewhere and just something prompts you, some quinky-dinky, prompts you that you ought to say something about the Lord. And isn't it strange that about along that time, there's another voice that goes along and says, they'll think that you're self-righteous. They'll think you're a goody two-shoes. They'll think you're doing it in the flesh. Trying to stop something that the Lord is trying to get your attention to minister. Well, that same individual that would do that is the same dude that would cause you to look across the fence, venture outside the walls of the will of God and the service of God and the plan of God to want to be part of them. Not to be different. Listen, you know, as time goes on, we're just going to be more and more different. I'm telling you, I sometimes forget how strange we are to them. You know, I mean, I'm just called up studying the Bible, reading the Bible, studying this, doing this, going out there, and I forget sometimes. When I used to work a secular job, I mean, those guys are laughing all the time. And sometimes I say, well, what in the world are you laughing about? And I forget. You know what? A lot of things we say, it's just strange to them. And the mindset that we have and things that we don't work. I mean, some of the things they get worried about and concerned. Oh, man, they get all stirred up over, like, come on. And the things that do bother us, they're like, oh, you know, we're strange. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I'm going to tell you one place the persecution is going to come from. That old man. He's going to snot. He's going to snort. He's going to stomp his feet. He's going to whine. He's going to complain against the feelings, against fears, against people. He's just going to try to do anything he can to just get you from doing what's right. And I'm not saying go to the bar, go to the immoral life. It's just go maybe an easier life, perhaps a smoother life. But you know that really that ain't the life that God wants for you. See, He's chosen you as soldiers. You want to know who some of the gripingest people in the world are? A soldier. He gripes two different times he'll gripe. He'll gripe when he's back in garrison. Because he's bored. A soldier wants to be a soldier. That's where he's happiest at. So if he's back in garrison, he's probably going to fight with himself or he's going to fight with others, his own men, his own buddies. That's when he'll complain and gripe. And the other times he'll complain and gripe is in training. In training. You know why that is? Well, here we go again. This ain't the real thing. Here we go again. All this again. Another night of this. But when it gets to serious business, there ain't time to gripe. There ain't time to complain. Some lives are online. Bullets are flying. There's a job to be done. Listen, fight the good fight of faith. Don't get to the place where you're an idol. As my grandmother used to say this, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. And the devil sure has a lot of workshops in many churches today to work in. Of saints just sitting around on their backsides doing nothing. Because they have decided that they've gone as far as they're going to go in their Christian life and they're letting other people get in the fight. Fight the flesh. Fight, 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 fight. Get busy. Listen, thine heart envy sinners. A guy one time got saved, went up to D.L. Moody after his conversion. And he went up to D.L. Moody and says, well, I guess I've got to give up the world now. And D.L. Moody says, no, you don't got to give up the world. He says, you just get a ringing testimony for the Son of God and the world will give up on you. That's it. The key there is is to get in love with Jesus Christ, get busy for Jesus Christ, and follow Jesus Christ. Just get all immersed in Jesus Christ to the point that the old man, he just has to stand in a waiting line. But too often saints did the exact opposite. Instead of letting the new man be able to grow and blossom and walk in a Spirit-filled life and walking after the Spirit and reading their Bibles and praying and having a joy and victory in their life, they want that guy to stay in line. That's late. I got this to do. I've got all the carnal things I got to do. I got this to tend to. And sometimes it's not, like I said, it's not about immoral stuff. Sometimes it's just the cares of this life. You ain't got time to read your Bible. You're too busy working. You ain't got time to pray. Hey, listen, there's too much to do. The kids need tending to. Listen, I realize life is busy. But you need to make time. You need to make time to fellowship, to walk with your Savior. You need that. Listen, the farmer one time went into town for some supplies. Dog had followed him in, and as he walked into the store there, and all the buddies sitting around there drinking sodas and things and Coke and all, and he went up there and they all began ribbing him. And the dog had followed him, but the dog was over there. And they were telling him, man, you shouldn't make your dog follow you in town. It gets all tired out. It gets all wore out. And the farmer said, hey, listen, that dog is not tired because he followed me in the town. That dog followed me because of all the zigzagging. They said, zigzag? He said, yeah. Every open fence, he had to run into that yard. Every hole in the fence, he had to venture in and find out what that hole was all about. And you know what? A lot of Christians sometimes complain, oh, I'm so tired of the Christian life. Oh, I'm so busy. Well, hey, listen, really, honestly, you're not so tired of the Christian life. What's tiring you out is you're so busy trying to live on both sides, let the new man, the old man, you're zigzagging all the time. And the flesh is just beating the snot out of you. You need to rest in Jesus Christ. You need to quit trying to live in both worlds. Listen, the heart is where the problem lies. He says, thine heart. You'll base your decisions and actions according to your heart. I got written right here, Proverbs 4:23. I noticed last night when I was walking around, I didn't see it Wednesday night, but I saw it last night. Keep thy heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Every sermon I've preached to you so far has had that verse in it. Boy, that is something you want to remember because that's a truth. The heart. Let not thine heart envy sinners. That's where it comes from. See? Dr. Ruckman told us, he said, every problem in a local church is a love problem. Listen, you get in love with Jesus Christ, you find out you can love people you wouldn't normally love. When you love Jesus Christ, you can actually deal with problems and go through things. And you can actually embrace things because you know them. They're from your Savior. You know they're from the Lord, the Master, the Heavenly Father's hand that before you couldn't handle. That just you couldn't put you all out of sorts. The heart. The heart's where the problem lies. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. In the book of Revelation, one of the churches is instructed there about their first love. In the same chapter, in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 20 here, verse 21, it says, be not among winebibbers, among righteous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. You know, he says, guide thine heart in the way, and then he says those two things. You know, he's talking about companionship. You better be careful envying sinners. You get the wrong kind of companionship. You have the wrong kind of companions. You know, I've often thought about Demas. And I guess a lot of people's idea of Demas is When he went back to the world because he loved the world, their idea is he went to the bar, he went to the skid row. I don't think that. When I think of Demas now after years, you know what I think it is? I think, number one, he just got tired of putting up with all the negative response he got from traveling with the ministry with Paul. Just constantly, the Jews were against him, the Gentiles was against him, the world. And he started thinking about all the opportunities that he could have instead of preaching and ministering and all the things that he could be doing. I think that's the world he went back to. I don't necessarily think it was an immoral life in the sense of, like I said, the bars and all that stuff. That's what that old man will envy. Proverbs 14, verse 30 says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." You know what that envy will start you? It'll start you complaining. Now, you may not say it to your brothers and sisters in here. You may not say it to your pastor. You may even get in here and pray, "Oh God, you're so good. Thank you for saving my soul." But throughout the week, you've been complaining and griping and just God's given you a cheap deal and nothing goes right and everything's wrong and you've kicked the dog and you've kicked the tree and you might even have kissed the tree with your fist and you might have, I mean, in all actuality, there's envy in there. And you're letting it get the best of you. Listen, there's no real shame. And the fact that it raises its ugly head, I told you it's there. The shame is if you let your heart meditate on that. Because if you don't get it in control sooner or later somebody's going to win in that battle. One day, somebody's going to win in that battle and they're going to have church like this and they're going to look across the row where you used to sit and say, "I wonder where so-and-so is tonight. Wonder what so-and-so is tonight. He used to always be here." And the reason he's not there is not because of some providential hindrance that he couldn't control, but he worked all day. He's tired. Click. And he's just taking it easy. And he's thought that church down the road there, you know, they love the Lord too. And his pastor ain't going to rat on him and stir him up and put him on undue burdens. He can go there and sing the hymns and shake a few hands and go live the way he wants to. The old man can feel very comfortable while the new man starves to death. And he ends up at the judgment seat of Christ to be reprimanded. Then I want you to notice here something else, lastly in our passage here. I want you awareness to be possessed. An awareness to be possessed. There's something you need to have, a watch you need to have. It says, "But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long." A conduct that'll fear the Lord. You know, the Heavenly Father, He demands more of His children. He does. He demands more of you people than He does them out there. But you know what He knows about them people out there? They're not His children, number one. And number two, they're on their way to hell. And the ones that are saved and are on the way to hell, they're prodigal. They're not doing right. But if you're saved, He's going, you know, my children, I've got rules and regulations. There's things I put on them. I can't do nothing about your kids. No. There's things that I'll tell my kids, don't do this, don't do that, can't go there, can't be, nope, can't do that. I can't tell your kids what to do. But those are my kids. And I love my kids. And I want to see my kids do right. Just like you should, right? Well, the Heavenly Father, we're His children. He is going to demand more of us. He is going to put some boundaries. He is going to make some rules. And that because we are His children, God knows we need those. We need those. God has saved us. He's given us promises. He's given us clear vision. He's given us a bright future. And at times He does have to chasten us. You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're His. You're His. You're His. Some kid comes along and says, well, they get to do it. Well, they ain't my kid. So, when that old man tells you, hey, look at that over there. And you know the Heavenly Father said, you can't. Just tell the old man, hey buddy, you're dead. I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm His possession. Listen, don't go green. Don't get in the place where you'll start doing stupid things. One of those green people said because livestock emit more greenhouse gases than cars, we should all go vegan, or at least give up cow's milk. There are many other kinds of milk available. Why don't we try drinking rat's milk and dog's milk? You're trying to tell me because they have a less emission that I need to drink their milk? I'm sorry! I ain't gonna go after some rat! You know? No way! I'm sorry! I don't even like that. I don't even like that. Dog's milk? No. Cow. Cow. That's milk. That's what I'm... Cow. Cow. All right? See how ridiculous they are? You know, you go to Envian. You go on Envian. That world will tell you to do some stupid things. You got to admit, since you've been saved, God's worked on you. Sometimes look and say, some of you that got saved when you were old, you look and say, how could I have done some of that stupid stuff? That old man, that's what he wants. That's what he wants. Stupid stuff. Dumb stuff. Listen, be thou in the fear of the Lord. You ought to remember? You remember God hates sin. For feelings come and feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Not else is worth believing. Though all my heart should feel condemned for want of some sweet token, there is one greater than my heart whose word cannot be broken. I'll trust in God's unchanging word till soul and body sever. For though all things shall pass away, His word shall stand forever. The words of Martin Luther, the German reformer. Listen, you need to fear God. Remember, God hates sin. Yeah, He saved us and He loves us. But He still hates sin. We need to learn to hate that envy. We need to realize when that envy shows up, it's a sin. And it's something that we ought to look at as something not to be cradled, protected. Taken and cuddled at times. Just kind of feel sorry for yourself. God's way is always better. God's way is always better. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. You know what I know, sinner? One day when it's all over, we will not be ashamed for living for Jesus Christ. We won't get to heaven and be disappointed what we had to go through. Father, I pray, Lord, You'd bless these words tonight for Your glory and for Your honor. I pray that You'd help Your folks tonight.